Hi, this is Omar Sultan with another Cisco and Cisco Data Center Tech Minute. I'm here with Sydney Morgan, Senior Manager for Cisco IT. Good afternoon, Sydney.
Good afternoon, Omar.
So let's continue what we've been talking about for these last couple of podcasts around some of the changes. At the end of the last podcast, we started talking about how we integrate management and those kinds of things across some of these changes. So let's dig into something specifically we touched on last time, which was how we're integrating our storage environment, which we've made some significant investments in, into the overall global data center virtualization program.
Yes. So our global data center virtualization program is based on an active-active data center configuration. And at the foundation of our active-active global data center configurations will be our storage area networks, our SAND architecture based on the Cisco MDS. Kind of key components in how we'll interconnect our MDSs for the active-active, we'll be placing them on DWDM rings based on the ONS 15545 platform, optical router platform. I just want to kind of go through some of our thought process on the tiering and how we'll be able to increase the utilization of our physical frames. So first and foremost, operational excellence is always key to Cisco in any program that we roll out. And in the beginning, before we had the MDS and was an ability to create a global SAN fabric and then do inner SAN routing, we really didn't have a very high utilization rate of our network and our physical storage devices. When we first started deploying SAN integration with our frames, we were probably around 15%, got that up to about 20% utilization. And by deploying the MDS platform with inner vSAN routing and some of the features on the SSM module, we've been able to improve that to around 72% utilization, which has cost avoided Cisco about $72 million to date. And for every 1% increase of utilization, we see about a $1.5 million of cost avoidance, really helping us drive down the cost and total cost of ownership of our storage. And the reason why this is important going forward is that we see storage growing at 50% year over year for at least the next 3 to 5 years, and we've sharpened our pencils and really put a lot of effort on it because that's a tremendous growth rate because right now we're at about 12 petabytes of storage. So you can imagine the demands on the infrastructure and the operational cost if we're not efficient at this. So leveraging the MDS platform, we've come up with a three-tier strategy model where tier one is the expensive mirrored environment all the way down to tier three, which we won't mirror and do different type of RAID arrays on our physical frames. And with this, we've also started to look at actually physically virtualizing the block level with Invista from EMC. And we hope to be able to drive that 72% up into the high 80s, maybe even low 90s, depending on our capacity management planning. And also taking a very serious look at deduplication. And I think deduplication, especially for people who are kind of at the beginning of how they're going to roll out their physical frame architecture, is a really key component because we think that we might have 25% of our environment that we probably could reduce if we could come up with a very strong deduplication strategy. But it is very complicated. So the combination of building an active-active data center environment, building it on top of the MDS platform, leveraging inter vSAN routings, and then fiber channel over IP for remote backup capabilities, putting in Vista, virtualizing literally the entire fabric end-to-end, combining that with our virtual servers, we really hope to drive the total utilization of that into the high 80s, low 90s, thus driving out as much of the operational cost as we can within our global data center environment.
Well, that seems quite a complex project. Is this a fairly straightforward type of thing? Are you, are the management tools things that are you're pulling off the shelf, or you have to build them in-house, or how's the implementation of this looking?
The management tools are off the shelf. Now we've integrated them into Cisco business models to for efficiency. But the standard fabric manager from Cisco, we deploy a lot of EMC tools, ECC for all the LUN creation and masking, but for the most part, and then we integrate that into our global management system, but we leverage the off-the-shelf products with the built-in APIs, XML SOAP interfaces to really do the end-to-end provisioning, but they're for the most part off-the-shelf products from Cisco and EMC.
Okay, So these are the kinds of things our customers, our listeners could, you know, take advantage of the same kind of products and technologies if they wanted to roll this out in their own environments?
Yes, that is correct. Okay. But I do recommend, you know, kind of take a step back like we've done on our global data center program, and pretty much every our biggest lesson learned in every program is really take a step back and look at your end-to-end architecture, and if it is a global, you know, maybe even your global architecture, just to make sure that you have all the components in place, because one of the scaling components that helps drive down our operational cost is that we have standard architectures, and this is application, business process, and infrastructure architectures that allow us to deploy them in every one of our global data centers. We don't deploy specialized architectures per data center. It's a standard-based architecture that we then replicate into all of our global data centers.
Sure. So if we take that particular initiative and then look at some of the other things we're doing in our data centers, move to unified fabric, rolling out more virtual machines, the concept of rolling out pods, are these all playing relatively well together?
Yes. I mean, we've had probably the growing pains and some minor integration issues, but we start at Cisco, we have P1 through P6 applications, and we start with our less critical applications, learn our lessons, get the integration and the processes smoothed out, and then slowly but surely migrate our higher priority applications. But we were fortunate enough to build on a stable platform. So before we started our virtualization, we did have a global connected SAN fabric and obviously a global interconnected IP consolidated network. So we did have solid building blocks and a solid foundation to which to build upon. So the integration has been pretty straightforward, minus the usual gotchas from some of the anomalies that come up. But we just recommend go slow. Be pragmatic and start with some of your less critical applications, maybe your test and devs environments before you put on your more critical and your production applications.
Sure. So you talked about also about tier one versus tier two versus tier three. What kind of criteria are you using to identify how you handle the different tiers?
So the tiering process is built into our ITIL services catalog, and when we sit down with our customers and clients, it's something that's negotiated up front depending on the priority and the critical nature of their applications or the business requirements around their application. So obviously tier one is our highest level our highest level storage. It is the high performance spindles from EMC. It will also be mirrored. And then because we want to, for our automation components, we want to standardize on a specific frame, we'll take that same frame and put different speed spindles and different type of RAID arrays in there to increase the utilization at the actual, to increase the actual physical building of it. So basically, if you mirror something, you're only going to be 50% efficient at the physical level, whereas you use different type of RAIDs, you can get that up to 80% utilization as you actually put the binary instances down on the actual physical spindle. So we use a combination of that, a combination of different speeds of spindles, but we did standardize on a single frame format. So the tiering basically becomes on how many images we want to keep, what the speed of the spindle, whether it's mirrored or just some type of an RAID array, and then what type of support you get from the Cisco NOC.
So it seems like one of the common things I heard across this conversation is one of the secrets is to try and standardize as much as possible and simplify infrastructure as much as possible to minimize the number of scenarios you have to try and address or deal with when you're trying to do this.
Yeah, that's correct. Standardization of the architecture is key, and because the capital your operational commitment is always exceeds the capital commitment. So ours is really coming up with a standard model and then subdividing within that standard model for the different tiering models, tier one, tier two, and tier three.
Sure. So at least one final question from me before I give you the closing comments. So if you start, we have a lot of customers that are looking at cloud and elastic capacity and those kinds of things. So if you approach this kind of model, even for our own purposes, does it make it easier to maybe take that tier three storage requirements and hand them over to a service provider, or do you think it makes it more complicated?
I think in a tiering model, it probably makes it easier, and we are looking for cloud services to really help offload some of the less critical applications here at Cisco or the lower level priority applications. and really partner in that cloud-based services. Obviously, there's lots of work that needs to be done on the management and API consistency between corporations or the host provider and your corporation. Those will probably take a few years to work out, but we are looking to leverage our clouds within our ecosystem to help drive down some of the operational cost of maintaining such a large storage environment.
Okay. That sounds good. Do you have any final words of wisdom for our listeners?
Yes, I think the key to have the reliability, agility, and then the overall availability that you're trying to build into your systems is to come up with architectures. I think you can really reduce costs, especially in a large data center environment with good, solid architectures, and that's application architectures, business process architectures, and the physical infrastructure architectures, and then come up with standards that can be replicated into every one of your data centers. Because the more you standardize, the more it allows you to automate that environment, and the more automation that is within a data center environment, obviously the cost that you can remove from the environment, then also you can build the agility within your data center environment to not only meet your business needs, but anticipate the business needs and kind of run a proactive IT organization so that you're actually kind of driving and growing and enabling your business as opposed to constantly just reacting to the business requirements.
Oh, that sounds good. That makes a lot of sense. So, Sydney, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
I think we have a couple of documents on the Cisco IT website, which I'll add to the blog posting around this. But as always, if you're looking for more information, you can go to cisco.com/go/Cisco IT to get a little more information, to get a lot more information on the different things we're working on. So for the Cisco and Cisco Data Center Tech Minute, this is Omar Sultan signing off.